So it's normally the case that we say that little prayer and we expect some inspiration from Krishna. I'm just trying to figure out. What do you say about a text like that? The point being made is quite simple. There are two types of incarnations, Prakash and Vilas. What's the difference, do you think? Gotcha. Do you know? Let me explain again then, in Irish. I'll do it in Irish. might work better. So, there are two... We could say that this is a technicality, and we could live a long and a fruitful life without knowing this. But just because it's in the text, let's explain anyway. A Prakash incarnation of Krishna is an incarnation that is non-different. So Krishna has expanded himself, but there's no change in the expansion. So the expansion is totally Krishna. So the examples are given when he marries all the wives in Dwarka. He marries these 16,108 people. And you're thinking, well, it's difficult enough having one wife, for goodness sake. You know, 16,108. So what does he do? He goes around 16,108 nights he spends. You know, everyone gets to see him every 16,108 night. But it's not like that. He expands, and in every single home, everyone feels totally complete. Their husband is there with them all the time, and everything is pure and perfect. So that is Krishna expanding himself in a way that he is totally Krishna. And the rasa dance is the same. So to dance, he doesn't just dance with all the gopis, he dances with each gopi individually. So it's a little point to be made. So this is a Prakash incarnation. This Krishna who is dancing with each individual gopi is totally Krishna. That's very inconceivable for us because, of course, we can be only in one place at one time. And the Vilas incarnation is an incarnation that is slightly different. There's a difference. So Krishna has expanded himself, but it's not exactly the same. So it's said that Balaram is exactly the same as Krishna in every single way, except his color is white. It's very interesting. Little subtlety. He's white in color. Krishna is bluish in color. So that's the only difference in that. But there is a difference. And that's the point. So therefore, he is a Vilas expansion. His manifestation, the manifest form is Vilas. And from Baladev comes the Chaturvyuha, who are Sankarshan and Niruddha Prajumna and Vasudev. And then come the Narayan forms, and then come the Mahavishnu, and then come the planetary expansions of Krishna, who are Vamanadev and Nasringhadev, and all these expansions that come into the world. So there's a whole kind of hierarchy, and all of them are a little different in form. So these are Vilas incarnations. So what's the point of that then? I mean, frankly, my dear, who gives a damn? But it is important, to us in our little sojourn of spiritual life. Because if we understand that this Prakash incarnation of Krishna is non-different from Krishna in every way, this is Krishna totally. And then there are other incarnations that begin to create and manage and govern the universe. So there is Kshirdakshaya Vishnu in the heart. So Krishna is manifest everywhere. But it's important for us to also understand that Krishna is always with his devotee, as he is with the queens in Dwarka and as he is with the gopis. So we're not just dealing with officials when we strive to become Krishna conscious. We're not just dealing with civil servants of the universe. Not that these people aren't important, they're all part of Krishna. But we can deal with Krishna directly. And this was Prabhupada's point. I remember when one lady asked a question in a class, I think it was in Los Angeles, and she said, Can we meet Krishna? And Prabhupada was a young girl, and Prabhupada looked and said, yes, you can meet Krishna. And he will come and greet you, and he will give you a kiss. Now, it was just such a nice explanation of Krishna. I mean, there's no question of awe, reverence. It's like when we chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya for the Bhagavatam class. We chant this mantra, a very famous mantra, and everyone becomes sober and serious. We ought to sit up a little bit. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. You feel like you have to put your hands together. And we chant for the Chaitanya Charan. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. It's a completely different mood. I was just thinking everyone was getting so jolly just chanting away. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. And it's, these are the moods of relationship with Krishna. Om Namo Vasudeva. Vasudeva is an important person in this universe. He's an important person to have a relationship with, and you approach him in a specific way. But to have access to Krishna himself, this is extraordinary. This is not the usual trajectory of spiritual life. Normally we get involved in some, you know, menial way and work our way up. We've been given access to the Supreme Lord himself. This is the Supreme Lord who does nothing but enjoy. That's all he does. Krishna has no responsibilities. Vasudev has a responsibility to be sober. Ram has a responsibility to be dutiful and pakka in every way. Krishna has no such responsibility. So this, it's important that we know that we can actually have access to Krishna. Our access is actually through, I mean, with the relationship with Lord Chaitanya. This is Radha Krishna. So this is even more dynamic. And yet, the feeling of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so jolly. Such a jolly feeling. And that's because Krishna is mixed with Radha. It's mixed with his potency of enjoyment. This is Krishna in his most sublime mood of rasa, of enjoyment. Quite an incredible that we have access to such a reality. And such an open access. As I say, when we think of Lord Chaitanya, we become jolly. It's like, oh, Lord Chaitanya, he's okay. He's a devotee. It's not as onerous to develop a relationship with him, because all you have to do is chant Hare Krishna and you know he's pleased. We've just celebrated Lord Nityananda's appearance day. And it's very interesting in our tradition. There are no biographies of Lord Nityananda, but Lord Nityananda is mentioned extensively in the biographies of Lord Chaitanya. He's not mentioned in the Goswami literature. Slight little mention by Sanatana Goswami in one place. But he's mentioned in so many of the devotional songs of the Acharyas. So he's kind of a secret in one sense, in that he's not pushed out in the front. But Nityananda is Balaram. Nityananda is Lakshman. It's the same person. And this is the first expansion, the first manifestation of Krishna. And from him comes the concept of Guru, comes the concept of Visuddha Sattva, and comes the concept of shelter, the first shelter that we get in this world. Nityananda engages us in service. That's the principle of the Guru. The Guru engages us in service. So that Lord Chaitanya manifests with Lord Nityananda, that Ram manifests with Lakshman, that Krishna manifests with Baladev. And we're trying to understand who exactly are these people. But this person that accompanies Krishna everywhere, this is it's very important for us to understand. We have an access point. If we approach Nityananda, Baladev, we get strength, spiritual strength, the strength we need to approach the Lord. He opens the door. And this is what all the Acharyas say. Without the mercy of Nityananda, we have no access to Lord Chaitanya. Because we're gaining access to Radha Krishna. There's only one portal we have to go through, is Nityananda. And Nityananda manifests externally as the Guru. So he's the Guru in the heart, because from Nityananda all the other expansions come down to Kshirdaksha Vishnu, who's sitting in our heart all the time. By contacting him, we're contacting Lord Nityananda, we're contacting the Guru. We're gaining access to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Radha Krishna. We're getting access to this wonderful manifestation that is the Supreme Lord. So, actually, these detailed explanations of Prakash and Vilas, Vigrahas, etc., are actually important for us, because we need to know what the goal is. Who are we trying to contact? It can be very, very bewildering looking at the array of incarnations, and who do you focus on? You know, this one, that one. And you're approaching one like this and one like this, you know, with your arms up in the air, dancing. You know, so which one is the real, which one is God? What's the real mood? The real mood for our tradition is the worship of Radha Krishna. It's a jolly mood. It's a very happy mood. There's a lot of fun involved. And it's based on Sangha of devotees. That's most important to us. In some of the other traditions, it's rules and regulations. It's in the Madhva Sampradaya, the Varnashram system. So everyone's got a point that they're focusing on. And these are important points. We're not to be neglected. But we have a very specific point. And the point is not about social organization in terms of Varnashram and Vedic blah-de-blah. It's about Krishna consciousness, a consciousness of Krishna. That this person, I need to have a relationship with this person. That's the essence of what we're trying to do. So to know that we can have a relationship with Krishna personally is very important. This Prakash Vigraha, this concept of Prakash Vigraha is very important for us. We can relate to the Supreme Lord personally. So when Prabhupada says that little story that we can go back to Godhead and Krishna, he will give you a kiss. You know, so this young girl is there wondering how she's going to get a kiss in life, like we all do. And Prabhupada deals with her desire directly. Krishna will kiss you. You'll be very happy. It's very important for us to know. Otherwise, we can become very po-faced. And we can approach Krishna as if it's some po-faced kind of, you know, thing that we have to do as a yajna. And it's not. Our approach to Krishna has to be done with love to be effective. We have to approach Krishna with our heart, not our head, not our mechanical, dutiful body. It's important. I mean, as Prabhupada said, without good character, you can't follow principles. So we don't disparage dharma, but we're aiming very high. We're going way beyond dharma. I mean, how dharmic is Krishna? He doesn't follow any dharma. He's a rascal, by definition. And he's just about to manifest himself. Jai, the rascal. Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Sitaram Lakshmana Hanuman ki. So this is the person that Prabhupada introduced to us. And this is the person that Prabhupada is explaining. This is who you have to have a relationship with. And to have a relationship, we have to bring our whole self to it. We all know that to have a relationship, as a relationship develops, trust develops. When trust develops, it means that you've given something. You've opened yourself up a little bit. Otherwise, trust can't develop. So if someone opens themselves up to you, then you see them that little bit more, so you can trust them that little bit more. Now normally we walk around the world and we have our etiquettes. Etiquette is very important. And if you've met someone for the first time, you smile a lot, you shake hands. Oh, very pleased to meet you, yes, yes. And you know such and such. Oh, yes, yes, of course, of course. Oh, come to my house sometime, yes, yes, yes. And it's all very jolly and everything like that. But it's only a new relationship. You're just trying to be nice. So you can't tell if that's really a jolly person or is just putting on a front or all that kind of stuff, because etiquette is involved. Etiquette is important so that we can protect ourselves. We can't go around and just bare our heart to everybody. You know, just say, oh, such, this is my problem, I'm aspiring to be a devotee of Krishna, and you just get ripped off. Everyone starts selling you all kinds of little baubles to cure all your little ills and how to become a devotee. Here's how to become a devotee, give me all your money. And I'll do a yogi. I was in Vrindavan one time and someone convinced me to go to an astrologer. And I'm not very much into astrology. So it's always nice to go and people say good things about you and you go, oh, thanks very much, and you give him a few rupees. So I went along to this guy and he was telling me all kinds of stuff, and he explained to my Keshe, my wife, he explained to my wife all kinds of blockages in her life from people in past lives trying to contact her, and there was all kinds of, it was very complicated. My God, I didn't know what was going on. We were in real trouble. And he said he could do a Bhagavad Katha and all that kind of stuff 7 days, and we have to go on a 10 for 7 days, and it'll only cost, you know, 1,400 rupee and all that stuff. And it's just like, it's just, give me all your money and I'll cure all your problems. And Prabhupada says, chant Hare Krishna, it's free. I'll cure all your problems. And I sat there in Vrindavan thinking, what the hell am I doing here? It's like, Prabhupada says, chant the holy name and everything will be okay. And I'm here going to get ripped off by this idiot. And he's going to do a Bhagavad Katha. He's sussing me out. He's a Vaishnav, Bhagavad Katha. He liked that. You know, he had me sussed. I open my heart up to him, like a fool. So we don't. We generally don't open our heart up. And what happens is we approach a relationship, someone hurts us in some way, so we close up. So it becomes more difficult for us to open up. And we could end up life as an embittered individual, having had no real relationship, having had no real trust in our life, and just bitter and closed and all, and we have a parrot or a little dog. And we give all our love to the dog because the dog doesn't leave us. The dog is loyal. Dogs are loyal. They're very good, actually. If you're having problems, get a dog. If you can't develop a relationship with anyone else, just buy a dog. And if it doesn't work out with a dog, that's it. You're finished. So a devotee has an open heart, and we take the risk of relationship. We give a little bit. We give everyone a chance. When you go out to preach, you're giving a little bit of yourself. We can only preach effectively by giving our heart, by sharing something of bhakti, something of our relationship with Krishna. Without mentioning that relationship, without opening ourselves up, that it's not just philosophy, it's not just book knowledge. This is my personal experience. Now, the person could just laugh at you. They just ridicule you. So we open up just a little bit and we test the water. So to be a devotee, to be an effective devotee, we have to learn how to give our heart. We should never end up embittered. We should never end up closed-hearted from people. We have to follow the etiquettes. But at some point in etiquette, in any relationship you have, now if you're a devotee or not, you have to open up your heart a little bit so that someone can look in and they see you, and then they open up their heart to you. And that's how the relationship develops and deepens. And with Krishna consciousness, it's exactly the same. We approach Krishna and we open up our heart a little bit. We stand in front of the deity and say, I'm suffering in this world. It's really suffering. I don't know what's going on from one minute to the next. I don't know what to do. Help. So we open up and we call out for help. And we see in the songs of the acharyas, there's so many songs where they're calling out for this help. They're opening up their hearts to Krishna. And with that trust. And that's in the sangha of devotees. This is how it's supposed to be as well. You're with people who understand that we're not this body, but we are servants of Krishna. The negative is we're not the body. The positive is we are servants of Krishna. This is the positive to develop. You can develop that. You can't do anything with the concept of you're not the body. You can't develop that. That's just the way it is. But you can develop the fact that I am a servant of Krishna. That's our identity. So we can develop this. But we do it with people who want to develop it. So with those people, we should be able to open up our heart. And this is practicing opening up our heart to Krishna. Krishna has put us in a sangha. And in that sangha, we have to work out the relationships. Now, we may complain that, well, come on, such and such. He's not exactly, you know, Rupa Goswami or anything. I mean, God, you could have done better than that. You know, the fact is we're put in the sangha that we're meant to develop our relationship. These are the challenges that we have to deal with. There are some people in our sangha who we just can't get on with at all. They're just the wrong kind of person. And what I should do is I should go somewhere else. Or even better, they should go somewhere else. But that's not challenging ourselves. That's not understanding to work with our ego, to deal with it and just put it aside and say, I'm being overly critical here. What's the issue? And that's a real personal challenge. Because this is our issue, it's not their issue. There's no circumstance we're in where the other person has to change. It will always be us that has to change. That's the humble position. And what's one of the marking qualities of a devotee? What's the key to Krishna consciousness is humility. And humility begins with honesty, realizing that I'm at fault. In my approach to this relationship, I am not perfect. We always have to admit that. Therefore, we always have to look to ourselves to see where the difficulty is. There's some people we will never be able to get on with for whatever reason. Karmic, blah, blah, blah. But we should never blame them. There should never be any rancor in the relationship. We should just be able to build a little fence, a mutually agreed demarcation. Beyond that, you know, good fences make good neighbors, they say. And sometimes that's the case. And even when you've done that, it should be a very little fence because people change. And in devotional service, we depend on that fact. We depend on the fact that we will change. We approach Krishna as young devotees and we ask him to change us. We want to become strong spiritually. That means we're going to change. We're going to transform utterly. Our whole personality is going to change. We depend on that. So if we depend on that for ourselves, how much more do we depend on it for someone else? And that's what we're learning in relationship in Sangha. We're learning to give people the mercy that we expect from Krishna. How can we approach Krishna and stand there? You know, an argument we always had in ISKCON Ireland anyway was because people in Ireland are generally pious, so they would say, "Well, why are you a vegetarian and everything?" And say, "Well, I feel hypocritical if I go in front of Krishna and pray, 'Oh Lord, give me mercy, be merciful unto me,' and then the cow with its big eyes comes, but I'm willing to kill it to eat it." I say, I that feels unmerciful. And people get it. But it's exactly the same when we approach other people. We go in front of the Lord expecting all kinds of mercy, expecting him to be fully loving. And then how much love are we willing to extend to others? No, we stand in front of the deity and we say, "Oh Lord, please help me." And we look across and say, "Look at him, he's posing. Look at her, she's all dressed up to come to the temple, but you know, she walks around in tracksuits most of the time. I mean, Krishna, you can't listen to her." It's people like that that give the movement a bad name. And that's, you know, we don't approach with here's someone coming with their humble petition. I'm coming with my humble petition. We don't give them that credit. We suspect their motive. We attribute motive to them. But we don't attribute motive to ourselves. And these are the things we have to learn. So the etiquettes are important, you know. Jai Prabhu, Jai Prabhupada, where's the prasadam? All the different passwords we have to get around the world. Hello, goodbye, and how are you, and all that. But also we have to be looking at the person. Who is the person behind all this? The struggling person behind all the etiquettes, the necessary etiquettes, behind all this stuff. Who is the person that is beyond the identity behind the image? And we come to Mangalarti and all these programs, dressed in the Vaishnava garb and all that kind of stuff. We all look very sweet and pure and perfect. But who's inside? What struggle is going on and how can we help? That has to be our concern. We have to be really concerned about other devotees and we have to consciously develop that concern in our lives so that we can really help, so that we're actually there for people. And this is what it means to be a Vaishnav, what it means to be a doctor or a nurse or a priest, any of these things. It's a vocation. We have a vocation as devotees to help other people, to express genuine concern for their condition. And it has to be able to look beyond their facade. Then, as I say, necessary facade. And we have to be able to look at someone and look into their eyes and say something that will help them come out so that we can actually join hands and help them. And people, you say that about Prabhupada. He'd look at them and he'd look deeply. They'd feel he was looking deeply into their soul because he was so genuinely concerned about them. And the Prabhupada didn't want anything from anyone. People felt that. There's a story of this devotee, Ramaru. She was from America, and she went to Heidelberg in Germany to do some study, a year's study. And when she was there, she met the devotees and joined the temple. And her father was a dustbin man who owned a lot of dustbin operations. You know, he had become very wealthy dealing with rubbish. And, as most of us did, except his was actually rubbish. And he flew over to Germany. He was a really big guy, working class kind of a chap. And he found the temple, stormed into the temple. He was very annoyed. And he wanted his daughter and he wanted her now. You know, because he had paid good money for her to go to university. And here she goes off with this, you know, hari-hari, clappy, happy guys. You know, come on, get real. So he came to the temple and it just so happened that Prabhupada was visiting the temple in Frankfurt. So he storms into the temple and he says, "Who's in charge?" And some devotee says, "Srila Prabhupada's in charge." It's a simple days, you know. And he said, "Where is he then? Where is he? I want to see him." "Oh, you can't see him." And then he looked towards Prabhupada's room. So he just stormed past him, barged into Prabhupada's room. There's some devotees in Prabhupada's room. And he says, "I want to see who's in charge." And Prabhupada said, "Take off your shoes." And he just took off his shoes and everyone left the room. And then he went in. Prabhupada asked everyone to leave the room. And he sat with them for an hour. And Prabhupada just spoke with them. We don't have a record of the conversation because they were alone. And he came out of the room and he said to this, Hansa Dutta was standing there, he was in charge. And he said, if all the rest of you were like him, you wouldn't have any problems. And he allowed his daughter to stay. And there's so many instances of that. No one met Prabhupada and felt bad about the meeting. No one felt they'd met an evil person or a manipulative guru or some such thing. Everyone had met them, felt they'd met someone who was, because Prabhupada expressed genuine concern for them as a person. It's just, oh, you're in anxiety. That was his concern. Oh, don't be in anxiety. So he wanted to help him. And he felt this because Prabhupada didn't want anything from him. He didn't want his money. He didn't want his rubbish. And it was up to him to give his daughter. And he gave his daughter willingly. And they, you know, the relationship was clear. And this is the clarity that we need to have in our relationships. They need to be... And if we develop that, we'll feel our relationship with Krishna develop automatically. It'll be absolutely automatic. Because these relationships are here so that we can practice. Because how can we think, how arrogant would it be to think that, you know, we go in front of the deity and we express ourselves and we report on all the wonderful service we've done and all that kind of stuff, but we can't relate to the devotee right beside us. We have a problem with some other devotee or some other person in our life. We haven't worked out our relationship with our parents or some such thing. How could we think that then we could have a relationship with Krishna if we can't even have a relationship with the person standing right beside us, whom Krishna has arranged to be standing right beside us, so that we can learn something, so that we can develop this relationship? Lord Nityananda organizes these things very expertly. He organizes so that we can develop the relationship. Lord Nityananda organizes what we should do, that we should be engaged in service, and what service to do. Radharani organizes how we should do it, the quality of the service, how to make tasteful arrangements for Krishna, how we can do that. So we can approach Nityananda or Radharani. There comes a time where we have so much service, it's just incredible. But then the challenge is, how are we doing that service? What's the quality of the service? Are we barging through people to get our service done? Are we taking everyone into account? Have we developed the heart with which we can do the service to Krishna's satisfaction? So these are all issues that arise for me out of consideration of Prakash Vilas. So there's just some